Basically Curious, a podcast about the mysterious, mundane, and stuff that's just a little bit weird. You can call me Grim.
And you can call me Kay. We want to start the episode off with a really quick announcement, which is we are changing our social media handles. I know it's not that exciting, but we are now moving from @TheMCPod to @TheMysticallyCurious on all platforms. You don't have to do anything if you're already following us. No worries. But we changed it, so that's all. today we are talking about how to observe the autumnal equinox, also called Mabin. So this is the second harvest, the quintessential fall festival, and it's a great time to give thanks and reflect on the year thus far. So as usual, we'll really briefly discuss some history of the holiday and then jump into some practical ideas on how to celebrate it and make it a part of your practice, no matter the specific path or tradition that you follow.
So the term Mabin itself was actually coined sometime in the 1970s. So there's not really evidence suggesting that under that name itself, this is a very old, traditional, ancient harvest festival. But people have been having harvest festivals on the equinox for, well, ever. We like to celebrate things.
Yeah, way longer than since the 1970s.
If that's the name that you choose, that's great. It's perfectly fine to adapt names. If you want a more traditional name, there are really just so many for each specific path. You could really just kind of do a quick Google search with, you know, Mabin and then like your certain path and things like that to find comparable names if you want.
Or like fall festival, your path, or fall equinox.
Yeah, I usually just call it the equinox.
And honestly, the equinoxes are not a hugely important part of my practice. I view them more as like an elemental thing, and that's not really super vital to what I do, so I don't even really observe these holidays usually. I mean, I observe some of them, but not, I don't know, I don't make it a huge, huge deal for me, and that's just how I am, and if that's how you are, that's okay too.
I really only observe this one. I observe this one, and I observe Samhain. Those are basically the two ones that primarily have always been in my life, even before I knew really what I was doing. And that, the reason why this one is so important for me is because we're going to give you guys a list of ideas, ideas that you can incorporate to celebrate this time. It's basically a list of my favorite things to do. This is my favorite time of the year.
Same.
Mabin is the start of fall. That's the start of the time of the year where I truly come alive. So I'm just about this.
Actually, I want to issue a minor correction. Fall started a couple weeks ago when Starbucks released the pumpkin spice latte again.
We're gonna just disagree then.
Okay. I know I have a lot of like strange interests, I guess.
You're in good company.
But I unabashedly, with the love of a basic white girl, love pumpkin spice lattes.
Listen, here's my hot take. I hate Starbucks's pumpkin spice anything besides the pumpkin bread. The pumpkin bread's good.
Pumpkin bread is
but
good.
Their pumpkin spice is fake.
Oh, I know it's fake.
This is how you're a fake pumpkin fan.
No, I know I am.
Because I need the pure thing.
I know it's fake, but it's like the smell. It's the equivalent of like the smell of the pine cone potpourri that you smell when you walk into like a Michael's in the fall, where it doesn't smell like that. Nothing should smell like that. It's so fake.
It's cinnamon.
I know it's cinnamon.
It's actually...
But it doesn't... It's so overwhelmingly... Overwhelming.
Quick aside, I work at a Michael's. My favorite time of the year. I can always tell when we've gotten our fall shipment in. We get it. late June, early July. It goes up late July.
As it should.
I always know because I get the faintest whiff of cinnamon, and I'm like, the pine cones have arrived. They're here.
Very good. We've gotten way off track. Normally, we don't go off on big tangents like this. So let's loop it back around and pull it and return back to the history of Mabon. It's called the Second Harvest because this is the time when people would obviously harvest, from fruit and nuts and berries that would grow in the wild. And because these were wild resources, a good or bountiful second harvest was considered to be a direct blessing. So this is a time to give thanks for the blessings that you have, whether or not they come from your local harvest deity. However you imagine the blessings come into your life, this is a good time to acknowledge and celebrate that. So what are some ways you can acknowledge and celebrate that?
Decorate.
With the delicious smelling scented cinnamon pine cones from Michael's.
Or better yet, make your own. Go out, forage up some
Yes.
pine cones if you can. Or honestly, I feel like, if you have a lot of pine needles in your house, I know pine needles are technically more associated with like winter, but like if you've got evergreens or something around you, decorating with those are just as good as decorating with the typically like fall kind of foliage. Like it doesn't always have to just be like the oranges, reds, and pretty yellows and things like that.
It's about what grows in your immediate area, in my opinion.
Exactly.
It's about connecting to the spirits of your land. And, we don't really have a whole lot of pine trees out here in the desert, so I don't really use those that often.
I will say a slight caveat there. I actually don't completely follow that myself, but that is because my soul so strongly resides in just like a forest somewhere that's where I belong.
Yeah, and once again, that just shows that these are two different ways of practicing, and it's not like
Right.
your way is better than mine or my way is better than yours. It's just how we interact with the spiritual side of ourselves.
But as far as like foraging goes, I do try to find more natural things. But I'll find other things, like I've got a tea light holder that's like three pine cones and things.
Oh, that's cute. So it's all about decorating your home, decorating your altar, and making it welcome for the spirits and energy of Mabon to enter your life.
And you've probably already done this in a certain way. Most people have carved pumpkins at some point.
Yes, that's actually a really fun Mabon tradition. And if you don't do it for Mabon, you can do it for Samhain also, which we actually have a blog post that's going up or is already up. I don't know when this episode comes out, but we talk about carving pumpkins for that and the folklore behind it. I did a lot of research and it's very, very fun. But carve some pumpkins or turnips or beetroot or whatever you can get your little hands on.
Check out our Instagram to see what we're going to be carving. We haven't quite decided yet between pumpkins or turnips, possibly both. We may be having a contest of some sort.
That would be really fun. Also, whenever I carve my pumpkins, I really like when I scoop all the seeds out, I toss the seeds in cinnamon and sugar and I bake them and I have cinnamon sugar pumpkin seeds. Additionally, in that same Samhain blog post, while we're still on the topic of carving pumpkins or root vegetables, I had the idea of carving sigils into them.
Oh.
Yes. So then, and it can be like appropriate for the holiday, so it could be like a sigil to have more gratitude in the coming year or to, I don't know, radiate positivity. I don't know, it can be whatever you need the sigil to be for, basically.
That's a really cool idea.
Y'all know how sigils work, and if you don't, check out our blog post because I don't want to do Sigil 101 right now.
Definitely not right now. That needs a whole separate thing.
All separate thing, lots of fun.
Also,
So moving on from just pure decoration, or maybe even before you decorate, it may be a good idea to clean your home, both physically and spiritually.
now, I feel like anytime we talked about cleaning your house spiritually, we need to mention be careful with the terms and methods that you are using. Make sure that you are not taking anything from a closed practice, and make sure all of your materials are as ethically and sustainably sourced as possible.
That means if you are not native, don't use the term smudging and probably don't use white sage. And a lot of the time, this is the biggest thing for me that I just don't grasp, that I don't understand why people love white sage so much because, yes, it's powerful, but if you have no real connection to the land that it was grown on, the culture that grows and cultivates it, the culture that uses it in its practice, you're just like using it because you read about it on Instagram or whatever. It's just lacking mindfulness in your practice. You're like, what, why are you using it? What connection do you have to this plant?
I just think there are always appropriate alternatives available.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
There's just no reason. There's no reason to do this. So,
So other appropriate alternatives, those include things like using holy water, which you can make yourself if you wish. Basically, just bless the water. That can be moon water or sun water or, you know, whatever type of water you use in your practice. Sprinkle that around your home. That's always a good way. It's also good because it's smoke-free, so that will definitely help some people who may have allergies as well.
A cool one that I've seen is putting certain herbs and stuff in a water, like a spray bottle with some water, using that to just like clean things.
Yes, cedar is great for that in my experience. And then finally, my favorite. This is a little bit of both physical and spiritual cleansing. You just take a broom and sweep it out
This is
vigorously.
my
I
favorite.
sweep with such force when I'm like spiritually sweeping up, 'cause it literally do like a deep sweep or vacuum if you live in a carpeted house, I guess. And get everything out of there. I sweep my stuff right out the front door. I think it really helps open up some windows if the temperature allows for it. And get air it out, air the whole house out, and it will feel much better after you do that. So we have spring cleaning, we also have fall cleaning, and this is a great time for it, especially if you have relatives coming or who have just left. I don't know if it's, you know, safe to do so, you know, about with COVID going on and everything. Get your house in order before and or after they arrive.
And then a good follow-up, whenever you do a thorough cleaning like this is to consider the type of energy or vibe or whatever you want to call it you want to bring back into the space.
Yes.
Decorating would be a great thing to help with this, but also, maybe meditating on the kind of environment you want or rearranging your altar so it's got kind of a different feel to it for you, or things like that. Like, also being intentional on how you are refilling the space that you just cleaned
Yes.
is very important, in my opinion.
Yeah, because if you do a really thorough cleansing, then it can leave sort of a vacuum. So, Grim is absolutely right. It's important to make sure that you are intentional about what comes back into your space. One way to do that also is by making your own fall incense blend. You can work in ingredients like orange peels or fall spices like cinnamon and star anise or pine needles collected on an autumn walk. Basically, use anything that smells good and that you like, and then mix it up and burn it. Or if you can't burn it or can't have smoke, then you can set it on your stove in a little bit of water if that's more accessible for you.
You can make some yummy smelling things, just boiling it on your stove. But as with everything, do your research before you use anything that you forage locally. Some things are not meant to be boiled or not meant to be touched with bare skin and things like that.
Certainly, a lot of stuff that's not meant to be burned. I know someone who made a Mars incense with cinnamon and black pepper and did not have a good time.
Oh no.
But sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. But Anyway, other ideas. Getting out of the house a little bit, going out into the world, I had the idea of going apple picking or going to a pumpkin patch or something like that. These are outdoors. You should socially distance and wear a mask and all of that. But that's another fun way to connect with the land that you live on and get some yummy treats that you can bring back for your decorations or for your Mabin altar or for a snack later if you just want to eat your apples.
I think that could actually be a fairly easy way to do an activity socially distanced, as long as they're taking, like, the business is taking proper protocol or precautions, because most of those orchards and things like that are fairly large.
Yeah, if you're outside and wearing a mask and social distancing, then you should be pretty much okay, I think. That's your mileage may vary. I don't want to fully endorse and say, yes, you should go do this and it's totally safe because I don't really know, but I know that that's a relatively low risk activity as opposed to like having a huge maskless Halloween bash or something.
Make your own judgments.
I'm gonna go on record and say don't have a huge maskless Halloween bash, or Mabin bash in this case. You can tell I'm already my brain is in Halloween mode. I keep saying Halloween, but we're talking about Mabin today.
Okay.
Don't have a huge maskless Mabin bash either.
So, if you feel it is safe for you to do so, then apple picking or going to a pumpkin patch can be great ways to be more connected with nature, be more connected with the seasons, and feel more connected with anything that you later do with those ingredients. Which we're going to give you some ideas on what to do with all those apples.
We already talked about pumpkins, but what about apples? We love apples. They play a huge role in a bunch of different myths, from the Norse pantheon to the Greeks to Arthurian legends. We will probably eventually do some myth episodes based on apples alone because they are found like everywhere. They have such like a rich history and lore behind them. They're so much fun, and they have been a very popular method for divination across many, many, many different traditions. And these are very often like folk divination rituals. I don't know how seriously these are often conducted, but I know for myself, my family, when I was really young, taught me to take the stem of an apple, and they would have never like considered this witchcraft. Like they would have never ever called it that. They would have never even called it divination.
As with a lot of folk magic, it kind of flies under the radar.
This was definitely very much like a just for fun thing, but you can take this as seriously as you would like. They taught me to take the stem of an apple and say the alphabet while tw holding the stem and twisting the apple, and the letter that the stem popped off on would be the first initial of my true love's name.
My family taught me to do this thing. And just a quick aside, that's why I think folk magic can be one of the strongest, is because it can really just so easily cross so many divides that other magics just can't. There are a lot of people who feel closed off to certain magics because their path condemns it, or they've had a bad experience with it, but everybody has folk magic in their area or in their family.
Yeah, and I think that makes it very personal as well, which is really important in my opinion, to have a personal connection in some way with your craft.
And really, I think getting more in touch with your folk magic can be a very great way to celebrate Mabin.
Oh, true.
Just because I think it is more of a time to start being home more with family, bunking down for the winter traditionally. But we're talking about apples. This is just a.
Yes, we are talking about apples.
He's very scattered.
Didn't they? Because I know you said there was another one with an initial as well, right?
An initial.
It was where you peel the apple.
Yeah, so one method, you peel the apple, starting at the top, peeling to the bottom, making sure that you keep the peel in one long piece. When the peel comes off, let it fall to the floor and The letter it forms the closest is the first initial of your true love's name.
This is very interesting that there are multiple apple divination methods that involve finding out the name of your true love.
It was a common question for young women.
Yeah, that tracks. Another one, this was really interesting to me, and I think this actually has some use outside of love magic. You take your apple and you cut it in half crossways, so you have a top half and a bottom half, which should reveal the rough shape of a pentagram laid out by the seeds. Ooh. So you count the number of visible seeds on the surfaces of both of your halves, which is the number that you have divined, and then you use your favorite system of number magic or numerology to analyze the meaning of your divination. So, for example, if you get one apple seed on top and one apple seed on bottom, that's two, which may represent partnerships or a choice you'll have to make. And five may mean balance or protection, and so on and so forth. So, depending on whatever system you use, then you can do some basic numerology with your apples.
Another slightly more practical thing that you can do with your apples, make things. Bake a pie. You can focus on the meanings of each ingredient as you're making it. So, like when you're adding in the cinnamon, focus on prosperity, focus on success. When you're adding the apples, focus on health and vitality, fertility, if that's what you want to focus on.
If that's what you want to
Also,
bring into your life,
make
no
apple
judgment.
cider. That shit's delicious, and it's just delicious. You don't need other reasons, but it's also just good to make things with your hands, I think.
I agree. You can also use numerology in this as well. So if it's like stir it 10 times for abundance or what have you,
Use a certain amount of apples.
use a certain amount of apples.
Make sure you have a container big enough first
Yeah,
before you
may
pick your
yeah.
number.
Yeah. Be careful using numerology to guide all of your cooking choices. Maybe be selective about where you use numerology. Another idea classic is a bonfire. We also include a few ideas for what to do with a bonfire, including a burn and release. We talk about that also in our blog post. So, bonfires are lots of fun, and you can make them magical by also doing some intention-based magic and burning some stuff, which is always fun.
Safely burning stuff.
Yes, we also talk about fire safety in that blog post.
Another fun thing you can do. I don't know if fun's necessarily the right word, but important. You can do some shadow work.
Yes.
We should have a blog post and an episode coming out in the near future about shadow work, how you can put it into practice in your life. But there's tons of great resources online for right now if you want to get started for Maven.
I'm gonna admit something. I don't really know exactly what shadow work is. Can you give, I know, again, this is not Shadow Work 101, but I recently finished up reading like a little bit of Jung, and he talks about the shadow of your ego a little bit. Is that kind of a similar idea that you're working with that kind of Jungian shadow part of yourself?
Yes. And see, it's one of those things where people are going to explain it differently inside their own heads, like however it makes more sense to them and connected to certain things. So I definitely think for some people, the ego shadow is kind of definitely a huge focus. For a lot of people, like for me personally, how I do shadow work is it's really just taking a look at a lot of the darker, for lack of a better term, aspects of my life,
Yeah.
and that could just be, why do I procrastinate so much stuff? And then it could also be like, well, why did I have this reaction when this person said something to me that really hurt me? It could be this terrible thing happened in my childhood. How, like, let's finally process it. Let's finally heal from it. So there are actually quite a few really good challenges online that I've seen. You can do a shadow work challenge search if you want to find someone. We can try to find some links to put in the blog post. But those challenges basically will just give you kind of a prompt to think about every single day. Like, what's your biggest fear? Why? What is your biggest regret? Why? And they'll go a lot more specific, but I don't want to say anything too triggering right now in this podcast.
Yeah.
It's not the space for it.
Yeah.
But it's really taking time to go deeper into kind of the parts of yourself that a lot of people want to ignore or hide from,
Yeah.
and kind of processing that stuff in a dedicated, healthy way.
Cool. Love it. Very interesting. So this would be a good time for that, I think, for sure. Interesting. Or maybe to begin it
Yes.
for sure, because this is kind of starting the time of the days getting shorter and the nights getting longer, like the darker part of the wheel of the year.
Finally.
Finally. So on that note, we have some other ideas here as well. You can do some ancestor veneration. This is something I really emphasize more for Samhain, but once again, it never hurts to begin your research and then go ahead and set up an ancestor altar or make plans for how you'll set one up on or around Samhain.
Or if that's not necessarily something that is feasible in your life right now, I find that even just taking time to learn about how your ancestors lived, like this is the second harvest, so maybe do some research on how your ancestors, harvested their local crops.
Or how your ancestors like oppressed people for their local crops.
Well, and we'll get into this when we get into the episode on ancestors, but I'm big on you can have blood ancestors that you talk to, or you can have chosen ancestors that you talk to.
Yeah, or not even necessarily chosen, but they're your ancestors, but you are related in a different way. Your spiritual ancestors, or your activist ancestors, or what have you.
Exactly. So I personally, I don't really connect with any of my blood ancestors. I think there may be a few that I could potentially connect with, but the amount of just terrible I would have to filter through to get there is not currently a good idea in my life. So what I do is I will instead learn kind of more about cultures or people that I admire that I feel more connected with as like a whole, and then I'll just research, what were their local harvests, what kind of were like their takes on like certain political things at the time, things like that, to feel more connected and more bonded with them without necessarily having to do like a ritual or have a dedicated thing. Just a quick Google search. Spend 5 minutes learning about someone else.
You could definitely ritualize that though, as well, if you wanted to.
I think you should if you can.
Yeah. And it can be something that's fun if it's, making a traditional food dish and then having like a dumb supper.
Yes.
Yes, dumb suppers are a lot of fun, and I'm actually gonna go ahead and add that. We have a lot of stuff on this list, but doing a dumb supper for your ancestors would be very fun. It's where you basically just set a table for however many people. And it's just basically seats for the dead that you're honoring. You still serve them food and everything, but they're just not there, physically.
I'm trying to think. I don't think. Yeah, I definitely could not pull that off here. That would be a whole. Again, that's not always accessible, but it's really, really cool if you can, and please send us pictures if you do. On our Instagram or in our email or wherever. You can also bake bread. Honestly, you can bake bread for any sort of pagan, witch, new age. Honestly, anytime. You can just bake bread anytime, but especially to celebrate literally anything. You can put it with certain herbs if you want it to like be more tailored to that certain celebration. You can make like designs in it. You can make certain types of recipes. Just make bread. It's so good. It's such a good skill to have. Make bread.
Yes, bread is wonderful. Homemade bread is delicious. Or if you can't make one, then you can always buy a nice loaf. Like a bakery, like an artisan bread, you know.
Right.
Those are always good. More kitchen witchin', you can make a stew with other fall type ingredients.
Root vegetables.
Root
Yay.
vegetables, potatoes, stew meat. We should write up like a Mabon stew recipe.
Yes. Ooh.
Because this is the time something hearty and warm and that reminds you of home, and hopefully with some sort of ingredients and herbs that provide additional protection and warmth for the coming fall and winter season.
And protection also translates to actual like vitamins and minerals for your body. It's not always only about the spiritual or magical meanings behind them. Also think about like the nutritional benefits of the ingredients.
Yeah, agree.
So then, a more kind of general tip, use ribbons or candles that are red, orange, gold, yellow, or brown to add some color magic into any of your rituals. Wrap a candle with a ribbon, you know, if you really want to go the extra mile, just
I would be very careful with that because,
wrap it around the candle holder.
yes, paint a candle holder.
Oh yeah, again, careful that you're not going to light your paint on fire or like melt your paint or anything.
Yeah.
But color magic, super easy, super flexible.
Very fun, personal associations, all that good stuff. This is also a really good time to pick up a new skill like knitting or crocheting because, again, you can make something very practical and something that can provide warmth for the coming cold season.
Or something that you can gift to other people
That too, yeah.
to grow bonds, which is another, I think, a very overlooked and yet profoundly traditional aspect of these celebrations is community building.
Yes.
That is why they celebrate, is to grow their community, because back then community meant life. They weren't always the greatest community, but you had to rely on your community so frequently. It's just, it's good to do for literally any celebration, just like bread.
Yes, bread brings people together. Warm knit, hand knit scarves and gloves and hats bring people together. Do whatever you can, do whatever you need to do in order to bring the people in your community, whether that's your friends or your family, to bring people together.
And bond.
Yes, and bond and be grateful and be thankful. Even though 2020 is maybe a weird and difficult year to be grateful for, you can still reflect on the moments that were positive.
And if you really don't have, or if you really don't feel like you have that community to bond with right now, feel free to join our Discord.
Join our community. Yes, we're trying to make a community. We're trying to give back. We're trying to create resources and give out the resources that we can for people to learn about this stuff because there's so much misinformation. There's so much, I don't know. It's really, really difficult to find good, free, accessible info for beginners. So I'm trying to make something that I wish I had access to when I was just starting out.
Right, so we'll have our Discord linked on our website, themysticallycurious.com. So if you would like to join our Discord, we would absolutely love to have you. We welcome lurkers too, so don't feel like you are forced to be active. We would love it, but
Lurkers, welcome. Just come and learn and take our resources as you wish. That's fine. 'Cause they're not like limited resources is the thing. This is stuff that we're all just like giving away.
exactly.
And on that note, I want to definitely we're tentatively planning. I know that we'll get back to the episode in a second. We're like tentatively planning some really, really fun stuff to do as well. That's like costume parties, socially distanced costume parties and movie nights and that sort of thing that hopefully can engage more people just to have a space to hang out and talk about stuff.
And a book club.
And a book club. Yes, we're also planning a book club, but that I'm really excited about because I love book clubs because of course I do. Those are super my thing. I'm really excited actually for our first book that we'll be checking out. We've already picked it out. It's gonna be super cool. Anyway, let's go over a few more ideas as we're wrapping this episode up. But all of them really do center around making something, cleaning and claiming, and making your space welcome and inviting for people, and making food and getting ready for fall and winter.
They really center around the home.
Yeah, this is all very like home and hearth. And this is something that I think is really distinct from the previous spring and summer wheel of the year holidays or Sabbats, as they're, actually called. I don't think we've said the word Sabbat once this episode, but they're known in the Wiccan tradition at least as Sabbats, of which neither of us are Wiccan. But anyway, we're still talking about them because these are
Conventionally used.
conventionally used and kind of everywhere. If you're in any sort of pagan or witch circle, people are always talking about the Sabbats, so we might as well address them. But I think something that's very distinct with Mabon and with Samhain and with Yule and with, other fall and winter Sabbats, as opposed to the spring and summer ones, is the spring and summer tends to be focused on outdoors and outside and nature and expansion and growing out, whereas Mabon, Samhain, Yule, etc. are about the home, the hearth, the family, and looking in for a change.
Right, which I think it's not to say that those are the only ways to really celebrate these holidays, because if you think about it, the reason most likely these have these kind of associations is because most cultures were homebound during those months.
It's cold outside.
Well, I mean, not most cultures, obviously things are different in all the climates, but like for a lot of people, you're not out working in fields trying to, grow crops. You're not trying to, travel to different lands to do trading and things like that. A lot of people were just stuck at home. They had no other option but to do these things.
Wow, relatable.
Exactly.
I Wait.
That is, so this might be the best time to practice Maven, actually, in the current climate.
Yeah, that's true. It's a little bit like the Taoist idea of like yin and yang, where there's the expansion and the contraction, but they both have a little bit of each other. Even in the expansion, there's a type of contraction, and even in the contraction, there's a type of expansion. So this is just moving into the yin cycle of the year. And even though we are in the yin, there's still a little bit of that yang in it.
So, a few more ideas to practice. Harvest some herbs if you have a kitchen garden. Use those in the stew or in your bread. Or forage safely if you've done your research and you feel rather confident that you know what you are doing, then forage in your local area.
Especially if you have a trusted or experienced forager friend, then forage. Actually, I'm gonna say I didn't ever eat anything that I foraged, but when I was visiting some family in a more plentiful environment, I got really, really into foraging for mushrooms. I never ate any of them. But
They're so
I got
beautiful.
really into finding and identifying them that grew. They just grow all over the place if you start looking for them, and it's so much fun. So if you live in an area where mushrooms grow, I think they're really, really fun. I found myself enjoying mushroom identification a lot more than other plants because I felt like it was much easier to identify them because they're all so unique. Whereas with other, herbs and stuff, I'm like,
It's green.
it has leaves. It's green and it has leaves. I don't know. So that's I got very confused with plant identification, but really fell in love with mushroom identification. And unfortunately, I am back in the desert now where we don't have mushrooms, but that's okay.
Yeah, someday. Someday we'll live somewhere with.
Plants with plant life.
Yes. I mean, we have plants. They're just not. There's a lot more things out here who want to, that want to kill you. Mind.
Okay.
Moving on.
Anyway, so you can forage and not eat your stuff, but it's just a fun way to get, like I said, get connected with your land a little bit.
Exactly. So, two ideas that may seem contradictory. You can make a warm drink like coffee, tea, or hot chocolate, and plan out the next few months. I think taking time to really look forward, look, especially if you're looking behind to then plan your future, it can just be a really good time to gain some insights into your past and like your future and your and therefore your current present. Another idea though, take a caffeine break. Now hear me out. I think this could be a great time when things are kind of slowing down.
If things are slowing down for you.
If they're slowing down for you. But I mean seasonally, nature-wise, things tend to be slowing down. They tend to be calming down, a bit more, they tend to be a bit more restful. And I think taking time to mimic that wherever we can within our daily lives can be really beneficial. So doing something like taking a caffeine break or just trying to go to bed an hour earlier.
Especially since the nights are getting longer, yes, adjust your sleep schedule if possible.
Exactly. Dedicating some time to just sit and read. Like cozy things, not things for work, not things, I mean, unless that's really, really what you enjoy, but just fun things to read. Taking time to just kind of do something new that takes you out of your routine can be really beneficial. The reason why I specifically mention a caffeine break, though, is because a lot of us have grown very dependent on it.
Yes.
And so I think taking time to break dependencies and focus on how that affects you physically and mentally. It can go hand in hand with shadow work, for example.
Yeah. As I drink coffee every day, usually only one or two cups. I know some people who drink like a pot of coffee a day and like energy drinks and all that. I usually only have a cup or two of coffee. But it's still like a terrible drug, and if it didn't make us like good little worker bees, then it would be Schedule One.
I mean,
It's
with
so bad.
moderation, it's not as bad, but the
No,
dependency, it's the
yeah.
dependency that is the problem on it.
It's the dependency, because even though I feel like I drink coffee pretty much in moderation, like a cup a day, okay, that's fine. That's, I would say, probably average.
But every day.
But every day, and if I miss a day, I get terrible headaches.
That's the dependency.
I gave it up for Lent this year. In spite of everything, I gave up caffeine for Lent. And a couple weeks later, right back on it.
Well, I think, like I said, pairing this with the shadow work can be really useful because it's not just, okay, I know why caffeine's bad for me, I'm gonna quit it. It's going, okay, but why do I feel like I need caffeine?
Yeah.
Well, what is lacking in my life that I need to fix in order to fix the reason why I think that I need. And so just taking that time to get more internal with it, get more internal with why you have the dis this dependency can be really, really beneficial mentally and spiritually, just like shadow work in conjunction with shadow work.
I agree. It's making those changes, and I think that's really what Mabin wraps up to be about. It's about looking inward. It's about giving thanks for what you can give thanks for, and it's about acknowledging or changing what is no longer working for you.
Right.
Yes. What a beautiful way to wrap up the episode. I think that's a good spot.
Well, I think I want to use the last 2 points.
Okay.
Just because those were very heavy topics, And you know, not everybody's looking for something heavy in this current world. So, if you just want something light and fun to celebrate the holiday, make some flower crowns.
But autumn themed.
But autumn themed. I mean, if you just go to your local dollar store and get whatever flowers, that's fine. All flower crowns are valid. But you do get bonus points if it's sunflowers, marigolds, or daisies.
Especially marigolds, those are used a lot in practices of ancestor veneration.
Exactly. You can also, though, if you can't go and get the flower crowns, paint something. Paint some flowers, paint a cornucopia, paint. Use sun or moon water to use water paints. I'm so mad I haven't thought about this before.
I've used holy water with watercolor.
Oh my, using like charged water for water paints that you then use to paint a picture as an offering for your altar?
Yes.
Oh
Yes.
my goodness. Okay, well we can end on that because I have to go do that ASAP.
you're gonna go run and do that right now?
Oh, I have to find my watercolors, but I'm gonna run and plan to do that.
Yes. Awesome. Well, what I feel like this was a really fun, kind of lighthearted episode. This was a lot of fun. We went over the very brief history of Mabon. It's really difficult to go over all of the historical celebrations of the fall solstice that have ever been, but I think it's very interesting to know that we are continuing to celebrate it. We're continuing to acknowledge it, even in our current modern day and age. And I think that's important. I think it's good to stay connected to the earth that we live on and to kind of follow the natural cycle of things. Whether that's going out and expanding during the spring and summer, and then taking this time to look inward.
Which has a lot of benefits, so I highly recommend it.
Yeah, definitely pick up a meditation practice, start gratitude journaling. I'm really coming in with a few more little extra tips here at the end, aren't I? But yes, all that good stuff. So to wrap it up, I don't think we have any big announcements. We mentioned our social handles are changing. We have our website, which we're really, really excited about. We have a blog, so if you want to check out the show notes, if you want to see all of these ideas listed in a order that is convenient to return to, then you can do that there. If you want more detailed ideas about bigger rituals like a bonfire burn and release, or if you want to learn how to make a sigil carved pumpkin, then we have all of those detailed instructions on our website, which is themysticallycurious.com.
All right. If you do happen to do any of these ideas or any others in order to celebrate Maven, please send them to us, tag them in us, however you make it so that we can see what you guys are doing. We would absolutely love that on Instagram.
We want to promote you.
Absolutely.
This is not for our clout. This is for your clout.
Oh, and it's for our knowledge. We want to learn from all of you guys.
That too, we're constantly learning, constantly growing ourselves.
We want to, you know, be in contact with you guys and put you guys in contact with everybody so that we can all grow. So, on that note, stay home, everybody.
Stay home.
Unless you go apple picking.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mystically Curious podcast. If you liked what you heard, you can follow us and get show updates on our social media, which is at The Mystically Curious across all platforms. You can also find show notes, more about us, and more services on our website, themysticallycurious.com. If you want to help grow our community, consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to continuing our journey with you.